The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
Shall I ask a question? This discussion that I'm going to have with you, amongst others, on The Savage Nation, about the low level of politicians that America seems to attract. I don't know if this is the same worldwide. I know that some of the worst people on the planet have become politicians. Hitler, Mussolini, Napoleon, Stalin come to mind, Pol Pot. They were politicians. Now, you say, well, okay, that was then, this is now. I remember when I was in graduate school, there was a, I don't know what she was, a college professor. And there were many discussions with us grad students, and one of them was how the political world never attracted the best people. She said with a sneer, people, let's say, of the alpha level never go into politics. By and large, it's people at a much lower level. Now, I don't know whether she's probably a very liberal woman, but it didn't matter, but it's still true. I'm going to give you an example. We'll talk about the alpha and omega of people. People. You've got Anthony Weiner, a psychotic, a sick man, a very ill man, very ill man. He belongs in a mental hospital. He's still running for office. He has no shame. Mommy and daddy never taught him he could do wrong. He says he's going to restore discipline in our schools. Any sane man would have withdrawn and never be seen from again. He would have opened a Carvel stand in Mongolia rather than continue with this. But, okay, now you have the opposite of Anthony Weiner in a man like Jonas Salk, who discovered the polio vaccine and did not patent it. He wanted to donate it for humanity. I don't think you see, there are no men like that left in the world anymore. Forbes had a great article. How much money did Jonas Salk potentially forfeit by not patenting the polio vaccine? Now, compare a Jonas Salk to an Anthony Weiner on one scale of the alpha and omega of human beings. And now let's look at the Jonas Salk who gave away a thing like that, and I'll come up with the number in a minute of what he would have made had he patented it like the greedy scum in the sciences today, compared with all of the greed balls in the universities today who give nothing to the betterment of humankind. It's all about getting ahead at the public dime. Salk, Jonas Salk, did not patent the polio vaccine. Did you know that? He would have been richer by $7 billion if he had patented his vaccine. How did they arrive at this number? We'll get back to that a little later on The Savage Nation. In the interim, we're going to go to some of the heaviest stories on The Savage program today. The phone number here, I got to give that out, 855-400-7282. I know many of you say, you know what, Mike, it's summer. Can we have some childhood stories such as Love by the Sewer Plant? Or let us say, everyone asks me about Dead Man's Pants. I actually wore them. And I suppose one day I'll wear them again, as will we all. But the thing is I actually wore Dead Man's Pants. People love childhood stories. And then we're going to talk about the goofballs in the White House and in other avenues of government who now want to, did you hear what the goofball in the White House did now? Remember this wonderful man, Obama, the basketball player in the White House, who sent our Navy SEALs to their doom in an old helicopter, a Vietnam-era helicopter? Remember that little story? He killed more Navy SEALs either through incompetence or God knows why else by packing them all aboard an old helicopter, not a Huey, excuse me, an old fat slow-flying Sea Cow, and it was shot down, or it was shot down from within. We don't know. Obama did that to them. He put him on old equipment, right? Do you know how he sent his dog to Martha's Vineyard? After he flew there on Air Force One, after his wife and kids flew there on Air Force Two, this guy had the nerve to send Bo, a dog, to Martha's Vineyard aboard one of the latest combat aircraft in our arsenal, an Osprey. I'm not making this up. Any other president would be impeached on the spot for such a slap in the face to our military and to the nation. Let me repeat it. All of you good liberals, you should be ashamed of yourselves, but you have no shame. You're just like Anthony Weiner. You're all on medication one way or the other. Either you're on marijuana or you're on antipsychotic medication. Your boss, Barack Obama, your hero, Chairman Mao Obama, took his dog and sent him to Martha's Vineyard aboard an Osprey helicopter. That's after the SEALs were sent to their death aboard a Vietnam-era helicopter. No, things are not really that good in America. They've never been worse. Never in history have we had such low lives in such high places. Never in the history of this country have we had so many low lives in such high places. It's shocking. Again, I got to tell you, I wake up every day and say, maybe I'm overly harsh. Maybe I'm being paranoid. Maybe Obama's not really as negative as I think he is. Maybe I'm projecting my view of him on him when it's not really him. I ask myself this every day. I ask the question to myself every day. I dare ask it. I don't have to get up here and tell you I'm 100% sure that what I'm telling you is true. Let you decide that. So I'll say to you again, I ask myself every day, maybe the guy really is an altruist. Maybe he really does care about America. Maybe he really does care about the downtrodden. And yet every day I see evidence to the contrary. I use a key word, evidence to the contrary. Evidence is the operational word. How can you sit there and believe for one more minute that this charlatan, this fraud, this con man in the White House cares anything about anyone but himself when he spits in the face of America and the troops by sending a dog to Martha's Vineyard aboard an Osprey helicopter? Doesn't it offend you? No, I think America's past the fence. If we could have a low-life sewer rat like Anthony Weiner still running for office, if we could have a gutter rat like Anthony Weiner not withdrawing from the race, what do you expect from any of them? Here's another schmuck in New York, Peter King. For years, I thought the guy was typical pal, Irish type, steam fitter type, longshoreman, loved him. Then all of a sudden, he started to go to the left over the last 6 months. Then he starts to support spying on Americans. Then he calls Snowden a traitor. Now the schmuck, Peter King, thinks he can be president. I swear to God. What are these people doing? Where do they eat? I'd like to be able to eat in the same restaurant. I'd like to know what they're drinking to get their minds in such a state that they could think anybody would ever vote for them. Well, I'll slow down. It's the beginning of the show. We had men like Jonas Salk when I grew up. He was a hero of mine. I remember Albert Schweitzer, Jonas Salk. These were gods to me. Where are they today? Where have they gone? Jonas Salk could have made $7 billion if he had patented his vaccine. Another man you never heard of, Eric Hoffer, one of my heroes, died about 5 years ago, MD, PhD. He discovered that niacin reduces cholesterol way before there were anti-cholesterol drugs that acted in a similar manner, which are patented and make billions of dollars for pharmaceutical companies. Yes, that's right. High doses of niacin will do the exact same thing in a less toxic manner. He also did not patent it. He gave it to humanity because he felt that mankind deserved it. The oral polio vaccine. Can you believe this? Now, Albert Sabin came up with a polio vaccine shortly after Jonas Salk, which he said was more effective. Nobody knows if that's true. But here's the important thing to remember. Sabin also did not patent his polio vaccine. Why? Both of them donated their discoveries for the benefit of mankind. Salk developed an intravenous killed virus vaccine. Sabin developed an oral live weakened one. And so the important thing to remember is that these people saved millions of people from the horrors of polio, and they didn't make a dime off of it. Jonas Salk could have made $7 billion. Albert Sabin could have made, they say, between $1.3 and $1.7 billion. Can you believe this? Where are the Salks and the Sabins of our generation? Shall I go a step further? Where are the military leaders like General Patton in our generation? Shall I go a step further? Where are the presidents like even Dwight D. Eisenhower in my generation? Where are attorney generals of any integrity in my generation? Well, I can go on and on. I think you got the answer. The phone number is 855-400-7282. If that's not enough for you, there's much more to come right here on the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
This left-wing banana head, Harry Belafonte, Halle Belafonte is an advisor to the Obama administration. I guess they all grew up watching the movie Burn with Marlon Brando, because that's how they're behaving. But the big story to me is, well, there's many big stories. A story that's big to me is the fact that this president put his dog on an Osprey helicopter to fly him to Martha's Vineyard while he gave our Navy SEALs an old helicopter from the Vietnam era, which they died on. How in the world could this not be a news item? Remember Romney had a dog on the roof of his car, I don't know, 40 years ago? They made it a story that went on for a year. Do you remember that? Well, the rats in the media, I don't have any other word for them. They're like rats with suits on and eyes. The rats in the media, 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 the rats and mice in the media. They're not ladies and gentlemen, they're rats in the media. Have nothing to say about this dangerous situation we're in. It's getting worse by the day because they won't stop him. They won't say a word. Remember the embassy attack threat that I, from day one, said to you, I don't trust it? Do you remember that show? It came out on a Friday night, since I have the last word in talk radio every day. That Friday night, which I believe was August 2nd, we looked it up, August 2nd, Friday night, I came on the air, and what I said to you was this. I said I don't trust them. I have no reason to trust this government. None whatsoever. Nothing this government has ever done is instill trust in me. Do you remember what I said to you, yes or no? Raise your hand if you remember that old Professor Savage looked him right in the eye. Well, you know what came out? That I was right. My skepticism was 100% based in fact. A high-ranking Yemeni security official has told McClatchy News that the Obama administration's recently announced terror threat, which supposedly targeted U.S. embassies, quote, had no basis in fact, and was manufactured merely to dampen opposition to drone strikes. Now, what did I say to you? Do you remember what I said to you? This article came out in InfoWars. I, Michael Savage, said it to you first verbally on this show 10 days ago. I want you to listen to what I said then. Listen. God bless America. I don't know if we can survive this big lie. Welcome to the program. Do you believe them? Do you believe this terror alert is real, or is it an attempt to justify Obama's spying on innocent American citizens? I'm skeptical by nature or by training. I'm a cynic by experience. And after four some odd years with this character in the White House and his charades, I frankly have no reason to believe that this terror threat is real. They're closing the embassies, so they're saying, see, now, we have to spy on you. And look what we did. We just found out that Al-Qaeda is about to attack us. We're going to save you again. So now, if it doesn't happen, they'll say they stopped it. If it does happen, they'll say, well, we try to stop it. But we certainly will learn that it's important that they continue to spy on innocent American citizens. I mean, why? Is this threat real or not? I have to ask you again. Let me rewind the tape. You know what I'm talking about? Am I the only person in the media who is skeptical of the administration? I doubt it. Am I the only person in the media who's asking the question, is this terror alert real? By the way, you're listening to the Savage Nation. This is not a show coming in on your dental filling. You're not thinking to yourself. You're not speaking out loud. You're not thinking these thoughts. I'm thinking these thoughts, and I'm projecting them through the miracle of the microphone and electrons into your brain. I think it's still legal to ask a question in America, although I'm not certain. I guess this could be considered some kind of terrorist attack, even asking a question under Obama. But, hey, I'll ask it until it becomes illegal, then I'll follow the law. But I'm asking you again, do you believe this terror alert is real? That's what I asked on August 2nd, 2013, right on these airwaves. I asked it. I didn't trust it. As you know, there were no terror attacks, no terror events, yet the entire rat media, I'll use the word again until I have to stop using it, I will never stop using it, the rat media took a hook, line, and sinker and ran with it and spit it in our faces and told us, terror threat, terror threat, terror threat, terror threat, terror threat, embassy's closing, embassy's closing, don't fly, terror threat, terror threat. The next day, Shay McCain and Lindsey Graham Cracker go over, I don't know where they go, to Syria, wherever, to Egypt. I said, how could there be a worldwide travel alert and they're flying? Nothing makes sense. Everything's a lie coming out of this administration. Nothing is real. Sending a dog to Martha's Vineyard in an Osprey helicopter after having sent our SEALs to their death in a Vietnam-era slow-flying cow. Impeachable. Impeachable. If a man of this level of egomania and megalomania, and by the way, viciousness, is not called out for this by the media, I am telling you, anything is possible in this country. Anything is possible over the next 3.5 years if this arrogant president is not forced to answer to the people. He can do anything he wants. Is that the country you want to live in? Do you want to live in a country where a madman, a crazy man, could be in the White House and do anything he wants without question because the rats in the media goose-step to his commands? Well, that's not what you have yet, but you will very shortly. Somebody has to say something, and it's still legal to criticize the president, is it not? Or has that become illegal according to the Gestapo? I don't know. I don't know what's legal or illegal anymore. But you know, I'm living like the word I'm looking for is like half 1 foot in the world, 1 foot out of the world. Living well is the best revenge? No, living well is the only thing. It's not even the best revenge. Living well is all there is. There's nothing else. Never mind living well is the best revenge. That has no meaning. That was stated by some rich old woman who inherited the money. I worked for my living. So I don't say living well is the best revenge. I say living well is, period. That's the end of the story. That's the guru. This keeps up, I'm going to leave radio, and I'm going to set up an ashram in Oregon, and I'm just going to get robes. I'm going to get some kind of robes. No more media. No interruptions. No breaks. No stop sets. Nothing. And you can donate your house, your car, and your dog to the ashram. And we'll all sit around chanting with each other. And I'll teach you the 7 steps to happiness. That's the next incarnation. If this keeps up, I'm going to leave radio. I'm going to leave politics. Because if there's no effect upon the political world, if I have to listen to another old white man in radio complaining about Hillary Clinton one more day, I'm going to say, what's the point of all this? Have you listened to these people from morning till night? Republicans are our only hope. Democrats are our only non-hope. Republicans good, Democrats bad. All day long, every day, day in and day out, who listens to them? Every day, all day long. Oh, and they wonder why talk radio is dying, except in a few small pockets like this one.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hot Talk 560, KSFO.
You want me to apologize because I don't wear my pants under my underwear? You want me to apologize because I can't dribble a basketball? I won't do it. I won't do it. Let them be invited to the White House. I don't care. I wouldn't go there if they invited me. I feel like Groucho Marx. I wouldn't attend the club that invited me to become a member. Yeah, I remember when Bush invited all the conservatives to the White House and I wasn't invited. And they all said, oh, no, we're not water carriers for the Republican Party. Then what were you doing in the White House? Huh? Mr. R and Mr. H and all the rest of you. You are nothing but water carriers for the White House. You always have been. That's how you got where you are. That's how you made your fortunes. You represented the status quo while pretending you didn't. So here I be, living in two worlds, a transitional state between reality and unreality. Every day I wake up and I say, am I overreacting to Obama? Are the Democrats as bad as I think? Let me take it from the point of view of skepticism of my own position. And then they do something that proves that I was 100% right, but even more so. He puts a dog on an Osprey helicopter and sends it to Martha's Vineyard at a time like this while threatening the military that because of the sequester, he's going to cut their salaries and not pay their pensions. And he gets away with it. Why? Shall I say why? Have I not said it enough times to you? Beware the government media complex. Beware the media government complex. Yeah, well, okay, well, I said it to you. So what do? I do the show the best I can. People come up to me, smart people. Successful people have worked for every dime they have. And they say to me, I can't take it anymore. I'm depressed. And I say, leave me alone. I do this for a living. I don't want to talk about it. I can't talk about it off the air. I try to turn it off. I can literally turn it off like a switch now. I would have died a long time ago if I didn't have that capacity. But I give you 1,000 volts when I'm on the air. I give you 1,000 volts of my genius and my energy on this radio show, and then I turn it off. Otherwise, if you think I do this 24 hours a day, I would have been dead a long time ago. I have a switch in my head. I try to turn it off. Heaven is German cars, British policy, French food, Italian romance, and Swiss organization. They say hell is German police, British food, French cars, Swiss romance, and Italian organization. I agree with it. I'm at a certain age where I've tried all of that. Well, not Italian romance, unless you're eating, you say, eating calamari on a Friday night. That's good. That would be Italian. The closest I came to Italian romance. German cars, yes, they're the best. British policy. What's so good about British policy? British policy is as bad as their food. and as bad as their cars. I mean, British policy and British food is the same thing as their British machines. French cars might be worse than British cars. I'm not quite sure. Who drives a French car anymore? When was the last time anyone wants to buy a French car? Who wants to buy a French car? What do they make that anyone wants? Nothing. They have an attitude. All they have is an accent and an attitude. Everyone's pouting and on antidepressants. That's all they have is they project angst. If you can sell angst in a bottle, I'm sure that some of the 18-year-old Verners out there would buy it, you know, and sprinkle it on their head to see if they can meet a girl at a sorority dance. What do you need? Angst in a bottle. The French export nothing but angst. The Swiss, what can you talk about? That's it. So then the boat, wait, there's more. I'll do politics again in a minute. I knew this would happen. I already told you that Obama put his dog on an Osprey helicopter, and the media isn't reporting on it. It's a gross violation of decency and humanity. But since the Attorney General, appointed by him, whining and dining with the worst minds of our generation, the American Bar Association, stiffing taxi drivers, stiffing waiters. I could just imagine the calls I'm going to get when they leave. They have to be the worst tippers in America, the lawyers, lower than doctors. Lawyers from the ABA, the ones who talk about the poor, you know they stiff waiters. You know that. So here we are, polio vaccine, this and that. Terror alert, I told you so. Maybe I should have you ask me questions since I know the answers to most everything. I mean, there's a report out that says an official from Yemen said the embassy attack threat had no basis in fact. I told you that the night of the announcement. I was right. Now we read that the clowns coming from Mexico are flooding the system saying that they're afraid of the cartels and they're being put up in hotels at your expense. Me afraid of a cartel? All right, put them up in a Holiday Inn. There's a massive influx of clowns coming from Mexico. They have keywords to flood the system. They game the system. They've been told by the ACLU and La Raza. They've been told by La Raza that all they have to do is say that they're seeking asylum because me afraid of cartel. Bingo. They have to put the clowns into a hotels now on the border. You hear your country that you're living in? Wait, it gets even worse. Interior Secretary Sally Jewell, whoever this moron is, said it, she does not want any climate change deniers in her department. Is this a fascist dictatorship where you mean you can't have any skepticism? You have to salute it? You're all sitting in a fur coat shivering in the middle of a global cooling, and you say that I don't believe in global warming and what? You can't be in that moron's department? Anyway, that's that. What a country under this man is. Like, whatever, stop. Heaven is German cars, British policy, French food, Italian romance, and Swiss organization. Hell is not listening to the savage nation, German police, British food, French cars, Swiss romance, and Italian organization, and Michael Savage being off the air. I love August, because you can sense August, you can sense fall already. I mean, you can't really in the East Coast because it's very hot still. I can already sense autumn. I'm looking forward to the holidays in September. Then I already feel the season, darkness at night. It's nice to do a radio show in the middle of the night. When I started this new schedule, I thought I would die. I could never believe the stress on my decades on Earth, how hard this was. To start all over when I was a certain age already, and take a later slot than I had before, but you don't know what's coming. I'm not going to tell you either. Something I've wanted to do was go to Vienna in the winter, in the snow, to see the the Vienna Philharmonic playing, well, I'm not sure which piece yet. I wanted to see the Vienna Philharmonic in the winter, in the snow. Is that a bad idea to do that for the winter? Like certain clothing clogging around in the streets of Vienna? Listening to the Vienna Philharmonic. Yeah, I would have certain cognac. I know what I would drink. Eat a heavy meat meal like mutton, some kind of mutton. No, veal. Veal Milanese in Vienna. No, I'm going to go there for a couple of nights. That's what I want to do. I won't do it. I never go anywhere. I have this fantasy. Because I live in the best place in the world. Aside from the politics, the bums, the crackheads, the maniacs, wherever you turn, it's a beautiful place to live, San Francisco. The weather is unbelievable. I've been wearing winter clothes the entire summer. This goes beyond the Mark Twain. I never spent a colder winter than a summer in San Francisco. No, this is beyond that. This has been like frigidity. You need like a bed heater, three covers, and flannel pajamas at night, which I love, so I don't go anywhere. Why would I want to go anywhere? Well, if you like heat, go. God bless you. I melt in the heat. I'm a northern animal. I'm of northern European stock and ancestry. At least in the last millennia, I would assume. I wouldn't know anything before the last millennia. I can't speak about B.C. I don't know where my ancestors may have come from before Jesus walked the earth. But I'd say in the last 1,000 years, I'm of northern European stock. I have extremely white skin. I detest the sunlight. I'm not an albino, but I don't like the sun. I hate it. It gets me sick. I like that it's there. I like that it's out there, but I don't want to be in it. I wear long-sleeve shirts in the sun and a wide-brim hat. I try not to expose my skin because there were years I lived in the tropics. I mean, what, 8-10 times already with the skin removal from the sadistic dermatologists? It's enough. So anyway, I mean, I'm looking forward to the winter, frankly. I may do that in the winter. Maybe then one trip to Lake Tahoe or two, the cabin, the water, off sea, off date. That's it, and life goes on. It's like seasonal cycles. You know, we grow too soon old, too late smart. After many a summer dies the swan, etc. and so on. Michael Savage's Pocket History of the World. What else do you want to know? San Francisco is what Hemingway called Paris, a movable feast, if you know where to go. If you stay out of the tourist traps, if you avoid the fake restaurants with all of the poseurs, and you go to the old Italian restaurants and the cheap Chinese restaurants, if you know where to go, it is heaven. But if you fall into the trap of reading the newspaper and going where the moron tells you to go, you know, they don't know what they're eating anyway. You think they know what they're putting in their yap? They don't know. They don't know food. They don't know wine. What do they know? All they know is that there's global warming while they're sitting in a park or shivering. This is the Savage Nation. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Let's take some calls. 855-400-7282. Let's go to New Jersey. Frank, WABC. Frank, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Mike, you've often talked about how insane the world is. It's upside down. Everything we see, politics, government, the left, what all these people are doing doesn't make sense in the normal world. But you, with all the, you know, objection to what they're doing, you still sound sane. And it's because of your diversity. And I've taken that example and applied it to my own life. When I'm with family and friends, I refuse to talk about politics. I'll talk about food and plants and animals or sports or whatever.
Right,
and
it's right. Stay away from politics because you're never going to change the mind of a brainwashed liberal. Never.
Exactly, Mike. And so I think Mike Savage, people say he's insane, but no. He is sane in an insane world, okay? And I've taken that philosophy and applied it to my life, and it's helped me tremendously.
Well, that's true, and it works for me. It absolutely does work for me. You cannot change the mind of diehard fanatic left-wing maniacs. And I published it in a book titled Liberalism is a Mental Disorder. I did a show on genetics where I came to the conclusion that liberalism is an inherited mental disorder.
Exactly.
Because it's intergenerational. The children are actually wackier than the parents.
Mike, has liberalism become like synonymous with criminality in our culture? Is that a genetic...
Oh, let me ask you a question. Eric Holder is speaking before the largest group of criminals in our country, the American Trial Lawyers Association, or the American Bar Association. They're criminals with a computer. Everyone knows that. Remember what Al Capone said? Don't give me a gun, give me a fountain pen, and I can rob more money with a fountain pen than a gun. So now you change it. I can rob more money with a computer, they would think, and a rigged court system than they can with a machine gun. They don't need a cartel. The lawyers are a cartel. The American Bar Association is the most dangerous cartel in America. Who did they invite to speak? None other than Eric Holder. Look at Eric Holder's background. He sent machine guns to Mexico that wound up killing hundreds of people. Shall I go down the list of the other crimes he committed? So who is the most dangerous man in America? Who is the sanest man in America? Who is the craziest man in America? All aboard. All aboard. All aboard. All aboard. It's people who don't know me who are afraid of thinking who categorize me without ever having heard the show, Frank. And they probably say the same thing about you, and I thank you for the call. I love when people say to me, I want to thank you for your show. You're so entertaining. Now, you don't know how to answer that one. let's see, my millions of years of evolution that produced me, my PhD, my two master's degrees, my 28 books, my insights, my historical knowledge, but it's all entertainment. Thank you. That's okay. Long as it pleases you, that's all I care about. May I entertain you? Here's Charles Schumer insisting that we grant amnesty to the illegal aliens by the millions. In the same time, he would be arrested for doing this. He even says he's a member of a gang. Listen to clip. Here's where Schumer says he corrects himself and he says he's a member of a gang. Listen to clip 15.
We have always stood, even in our group of eight, gang of eight, we said one thing that's bottom line is there has to be some path to citizenship. First, I think we're going to get an immigration bill. I see the green sprout, so to speak. Republican leadership is talking about things they didn't before, like some form of a path to citizenship, whether it's a DREAM Act or allowing those who cross the border illegally to use existing means. That's not as far as we would go. There's lots of people this August, businesses, evangelical churches, growers, farmers, lobbying their Congress members. A whole bunch now have come out for immigration reform.
Now, why would evangelical churches want immigration? Answer, because people have caught on to the con and they're not going to churches. So they need hundreds of thousands of new victims to put into the churches. And why would growers want illegal aliens to be granted amnesty so they could have a whole flock of cheap labor? Farmers, the same. Businesses, the same. It's not that I have anything against, you know, this is another very important topic. I am the only major league talk show host who's actually the son of an immigrant. Let me start with that. There is no other talk show host who's a conservative that I know of who is the son of an immigrant. I'm first generation American. I'm proud of it. My father was an actual immigrant from Russia. So you say, okay, well, what does that get you? That in a token will get you on a subway car. Well, it gives me a perspective. In other words, I have sympathy for those who come here who want a better life and work very hard. But I have absolutely no sympathy for those who come here and don't work very hard, who want to suck off the system, who simply want to sap off it like a parasite, who want to knock out 6, 10, 12 children for welfare. They want free legal, free medical, Section 8. No, I have a real feel for this. And so I feel I have almost a birthright to talk about immigration in a more profound way than anyone else in radio. And you know and I know that Schumer is a prostitute for big business who has bought him off lock, stock, and barrel. He's a prostitute, as is McCain. They're all, the whole gang of eight are prostitutes. That includes the whole lot of them. If you take polls of the American people, including fair-minded Democrats who really know what the immigrant experience is, what it was, and what it should be, 75 to 80% of legal citizens oppose amnesty for illegal aliens. Charles Schumer knows that, but he's a member of a gang. And as you well know, gangs don't pay attention to what the public wants. Gangs just do what the gangs want. So that's how I see it. Do I oppose amnesty for illegals because I don't like Hispanics? The opposite is true. I admire the Hispanic people in this country. I want to be very clear about it. They're as hardworking as my ancestors were, and not too far back in the line either. Most of them that I see are as family-oriented as my father's generation was, and I am. Married, family, house, children, they want the American dream. So no, it has nothing to do with race, nor country of origin, two very sensitive issues. It has to do with carrying capacity of a nation. Our social system cannot handle 50 to 60 million illegal aliens. The lifeboat is full. We will all drown. The phone number here is 855-400-7282. You can go to michaelsavage.com for many of the articles I've discussed. What you're about to hear may as well have come from a science fiction program or from the Twilight Zone itself. It is none other than Eric Holder, our Attorney General, in San Francisco speaking to the American Bar Association, perhaps the worst minds of our generation, the worst tippers, the most twisted minds in America are there, polluting my restaurants, polluting my streets till they leave. I can't wait. I won't go to the city till they're gone. What you're about to hear, as I say, is from the Twilight Zone. This is Eric Holder talking to lawyers who have destroyed everything good about America in clip 9. Listen.
Well, throughout history, Americans of all backgrounds and walks of life have turned to our legal system to settle disputes, but also to hold accountable those who have done wrong, and
what?
Even to answer fundamental questions about who we are and who we aspire to be as a
what?
People. Equal rights and equal justice.
Here we go again.
Generations of principled lawyers have engaged directly in the work of building a more perfect union.
I can't believe that this man, he's like Anthony Weiner. Another one, they have no shame. How do they get through a day without laughing at themselves? Do they go home, shave in the morning, and say, how did I get away with that? Well, look who he's speaking to. A bunch of phony left-wing lawyers sitting there in the office. They rob everyone blind. They screw their own clients. They rig the system. They pay off judges. So we're supposed to believe that they would hold him accountable for a fraudulent speech like that? Lawyers are trying to attain to build a more perfect union in America? They're like locusts.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
It is the theme from The Summer Savage. A lot of clouds in the sky, there's no question about it. The chief clown is with the millionaires and billionaires in Martha's Vineyard. Who will watch the Watchers, ask the ancient Romans? Well, of course, no one's watching the Watchers. The Watchers are watching you. That's why I'm playing Theme from a Summer Place by Percy Faith. It's an eternal song in some ways. And I'm not going to do summer memories that come to mind when you hear this song, unless you want to do it. What I want to begin with... Yeah, I'm playing it again, Sam. What I want to do instead is a double. I want to wrap your mind around two things. Better times in America when sane patriots ran the country. Of course there was corruption. Of course there was corruption. But we had a firewall between politicians and, let us say, sedition. Today the line is blurred between seditious behavior and political behavior. Witness John McCain going to Egypt and telling the Egyptians to put Morsi and the Islamic murderers back in power when we learned they burned churches to the ground. Way to go, John. Way to go, John. Well, we got another thing to bring up on the Savage Nation, which is a little different than Obama playing cards on the night Bin Laden was laid to rest. And that is, this is hard for you to believe what you're about to hear next. In the Jewish tradition, there is a ceremony called a bar mitzvah, which is the confirmation. Christians know it as the confirmation ceremony, where a young boy becomes a man. It doesn't mean anything. Most boys are still boys until they're like 59. Take a look at the guy Anthony Weiner in New York. It didn't matter that he was bar mitzvahed at 13. But nevertheless, there's a thing going around YouTube of a kid named Sam Horowitz who entered a bar mitzvah ceremony on a giant chandelier and performing for the crowd. Wait, you're not going to believe it. It gets more disgusting and garish by the second. His mother is heard. This is a kid whose parents put on a grotesque, garish ceremony. So much so that the world is revolted by it, I think. Listen to clip four.
When I was like 7, I went to a concert, and I saw, and the singers and performers came out of chandeliers. And I was like, oh my God, I want to do that. It's like one of my passions.
He loves to entertain. And it's really a big part of his personality.
Like, I'm so fortunate to be able to do things like that. And it definitely the best day of my life.
I know who we are, and I feel good about who we are, and I feel
sure
good about
do.
What we do, and I feel great about the lessons I'm teaching my children on how to give back to your community in all sorts
of
ways.
Stop. The mother says, I know who we are, and feel good about who we are, and I feel good about what we do. And I feel great about the lessons I'm teaching my children about how to give back in all sorts of ways. This is a mother who puts on a garish bar mitzvah ceremony where her brat swings into the ceremony on a giant chandelier and performs for the crowd. Lady, this is supposed to be a religious ceremony. Well, I can guarantee you he's already put in his applications for law school.
Settled law.
It's settled law, for sure. Look at her. He's on the Supreme Court. It's settled law. It brings to mind this question. What is the most garish bar or bat mitzvah you've ever witnessed or heard about? I know that many people are squirming that I'm daring to bring this topic up, but someone's got to put a stop to this insanity. How do you feel about classless parents engaging in these Romanesque orgies, which are really supposed to be religious rites of passage? And let's bring it to a bigger level. What weddings or other ceremonies have you seen ruined by classlessness and insanity? No? Not a good topic? Then don't call. What do I care? It doesn't matter. Play things from a summer place. Because I'll tell you what that brings to mind for me. Themes from a summer place brings to mind Love by the Sewer Plant. I'm not going to read it to you again. I could read you the nympho in Alley Pond Park if you like. I think she's working for the Department of Homeland Security now in one of the departments. You know, if I look at the titles of some of the stories I've told as a talk show host all these years, I would bet you that some of them are working in the government now. For example, the story, the electric blue saddle-stitched pants, about a bigger kid who pushed me down and beat me up and ripped my saddle-stitched pants, I would think he's probably working for Bill Clinton. Or if I told you the story about the fly in the tuna, about a guy who put a fly in a tuna fish, I would say he's probably working for the Department of Homeland Security. Or if I talked about Woodchuck Bill, I would say he's probably not working at all. He's probably been dead for 50 years. Or if I talked about Dead Man's Pants, you know, that's the story that people, when they see me, they say, "Are you Michael Savage? I love your story, Dead Man's Pants." I said, "Why is that? Why do you like Dead Man's Pants? Have you heard Dead Man's Pants? To deep right field, that ball is going, it is gone. Maris hitting his second homer of the day, and the Yankees' sixth homer." See, that's the kind of voice I grew up on, which were incredible, incredible baseball announcers. I go all the way back to some of the greats. They weren't talk show hosts, but they had a way on the radio to take a 9-year-old kid and take him out of his misery, so to speak, and put him in another world. I don't know that they're still around. I'm not a sports fan, as you well know, but I listen to everything, and I don't find any of it that compelling. There's no question for you today. I'm just going to keep rapping until I hit some pay dirt here. So let's go into the sound of the Savage Nation. If you want to talk about what summer memories come to your mind when you hear that song, you can bore us with that. If you want to hear about the 13-year-old entering his bar mitzvah on a giant chandelier and his glorious mother saying that she's fortunate and she knows who we are and I feel good about who we are and she feels good about what we do and I feel great about the lessons I'm teaching my children and how to give back. If this family is not a major donor family to the blood bank, I'd like to know who is. The phone number is 855-407-282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282, SAVAGE.
Hillary can save the world because women are oppressed. In America, they're oppressed? Where? Where are women oppressed in America? What madness is this? How long can we go on with the 1960s? When does it end? When do they stop it? When does Animal Farm come to an end? When do they stop talking about the glue farm? And when do they stop talking about Animal Farm? When does it stop? How do we stop them? Can we take this insanity? Who believes them anymore? I don't understand it. And we're talking about other things on the show as well. Summer memories, for example. I haven't yet told you two of my favorite summer trips because, you know, I love radio very much. But summer, I mean, even the president has taken time off from his time off. It just shows you how much he respects the American holidays. He's not here for July 4th. He's not here for Christmas. He doesn't celebrate any of our national holidays, it seems, but he certainly celebrates the holiday about holidays, which is in the middle of August, when even psychiatrists allegedly go on vacation. But the issue is, many of you are on vacation, or wish you're on vacation. And I could be on vacation, but I don't want to be on vacation. I like working in August. I like taking off after Labor Day when everyone's back at school, you know, and it's less crowded. I'm going to start talking about an election in 2016. You think I'm crazy? Because Hillary Clinton, the eternal candidate, which will make it the third term of Bill Clinton, thinks she's going to be president. I should talk about that? Yes, if you would like to, we can. I think it's a poor topic for radio. It's so boring, it's beyond belief. I mean, if you want more of the cattle gate, this gate, that gate, I mean, how much more can we take of this? Well, who knows? Maybe there's an endless desire for it. I'd much rather talk about garish bar mitzvahs, classless parents who put on these events. Why? It's not about the rich. I don't begrudge the rich. What message does it send to a child to spend millions of dollars on such a Romanesque event? What does it tell the child? The ceremony is supposed to be a religious ceremony. That's what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be imbued with God. Instead, it's imbued with garishness, not God. So that's my problem with it. That's all. What do you think? Gail in Pennsylvania, Philly, WWIQ. Gail, you're next up. Go ahead, please.
Hello. Yes, I'm calling from Wayne, Pennsylvania. I do not begrudge the rich, and too many people do. At least they spend money. And
See, but I'm not. Gail, I think you missed my point. A bar mitzvah that costs $1 million with a child swinging into the event on a chandelier is what I'm talking about, not the $1 million. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I know. And it's amusing, but I'm not judgmental. Let them spend money. Let them pay the photographers. Let them pay the caterers.
You're missing. See, but you should be judgmental, because I can guarantee you are judgmental. The people who say they're not judgmental are usually extremely judgmental of those who they claim are too judgmental.
If I was working, you know, and doing one of these services for the wedding, I would be very happy to take the money and do it happily.
Well, it's not about money, though. My point is not about the money being spent, Gail. It's about what message does it send to the child.
I don't really, at this point in time, feel that that is so much an issue. Even though...
Hold on. Well, let me make my point. Do you know what a bar mitzvah ceremony is? I'm sure you do, right?
I've been to many.
Okay. What does it symbolize? It symbolizes a boy leaving boyhood and entering manhood, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And it's a ceremony imbued with beautiful music, and it's a ceremony that is very rich in tradition. So when you strip it of God and you strip it of tradition, and all that you have left are lamb chops on a tray and an idiot swinging it on a chandelier, what does it tell a child? That religion has no meaning, tradition has no meaning, God doesn't exist, and all that matters is money?
I know what you're saying, but, you know, as speaking as somebody who, on the side, I'm a wedding officiant, I personally...
I would think that's like, by the way, as a side note, I think that's, you mean you put them on for people?
I personalize the ceremony. Like, if somebody doesn't want a justice of the peace, but they don't want...
I understand that. And by the way, you want to hear something funny? Many times I've thought I'd be a much happier man if I could officiate at weddings and funerals as a side job for radio. Not for the money, but because people would like me to do it. I'd like to marry people and bury people. I would love it, because, I mean, people like me, I have a very commanding presence. I can have a sense of humor or a sense of dignity or tragedy, depending upon what the situation calls for. So, and I do like people in groups. I don't like people individually. I like crowds.
What? You would do a beautiful job. You would be a wonderful officiant.
Well, I can get the purple robes that the guy in Oregon left behind when he fled to Switzerland. I can buy them at auction on YouTube and put myself out.
I'm also a very good officiant, by the way.
What is the word? What do you say? Officiant?
Pardon?
You're an officiant?
Officiant. A wedding officiant.
I like that. That's a new term. It's a Frenchy term, right?
I don't know. But I'm...
Well, I know what aficionado is, obviously, but this is sort of an aficionado who directs things, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's a magazine, a cigar aficionado, that kind of thing. But an officiant is someone who's not a passive appreciant of things, but it's someone who actually directs the appreciation.
That's right.
See, no one's better with words than me.
Well, you are a spiritual person, I can tell.
Wow. I wish I were more spiritual, honestly. I wish I were more religious.
I think you are.
I lost connection with religion in the last year. And it's for a number of reasons. Once I saw what Muslims have done with religion, I walked away from it. I said, this is too much. I can't take it anymore. When I see Muslims setting off bombs to celebrate a religious holiday, I say to myself, I don't need this anymore. I can't take it. I can't take it anymore. I can't take this. What? Who can do that to someone in the name of God?
God is different from religion. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you can be...
I don't know. Maybe I should get into swinging from chandeliers at bar mitzvahs. I might be happier. I'm going to send you a copy of my book, Trickle Down Tyranny. It has nothing to do with religious ceremonies. It's an attempt to awaken America. Thanks, Gail. You've been a great caller. Very good call. I've heard of a cigar aficionado. I've never heard of a wedding aficionant. But live and learn something every day. I think this is great. What would you like to talk about? Hillary, garish weddings, garish bar mitzvahs. Excuse me, garish bar mitzvahs. Anything you'd like to talk about. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. How about a truly religious event? Have you ever been to one? Anyone ever go to a really religious event? An article just came out. I have to find this. You won't believe it. A whack job professor of psychology has said he has proven beyond a reasonable doubt that religious people are not as intelligent as atheists. He did a study. Gee, I wonder how he top-loaded that study. Does he know that Albert Einstein believed in God? I don't think he knows that. I love all of the kids who have the Albert Einstein posters in their college dorms, or until recently did, with the crazy hair and the tongue sticking out. They thought Einstein was a crazy, wild guy with checked pants who smoked dope. Well, it turns out that Einstein, in his later years, says the more he studies the perimeters of the universe, the more he is convinced that God exists. He became a believer. He always was a believer. So how do you explain that? I guess he's not intelligent, according to those psychologists. You know, I think that's an interesting point. 855-407-2282 is the phone number. Let's go to the next call. WMAL in Washington, D.C. Martin, thanks for calling the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
I experienced over-the-top bar mitzvah. It was my brother in the early days of hi-fi. It was at a place in Brooklyn. You may be familiar with Eastern Parkway.
And I remember when you could still walk on Eastern Parkway without getting shot on the way to get a loaf of bread.
He had this bar mitzvah at a place called Twin Cantors. It featured two cantors who were identical twins, who each came down a spiral staircase. Sunrise, sunset. What?
I'm laughing. And so what was the point? It was garish, or you thought it was a beautiful ceremony?
No, it was extremely garish.
But did it offend you, is what I'm saying. Are you offended by it? I'm offended by these events. That's the point of my show topic.
The point I'm making is that it was over the top. It was something that I have never seen done. I don't know what happened to that establishment.
Yeah, and I'd like to know what happened to the boy who had such an event. What did he become? Well, what was he fit to become? Did he make a life for himself? All right, well, thank you for the call. I can't tell you. I would think it would ruin a child to make him think that he's so important in the center of the universe in such a manner. That's all.
Savage. This is an encore presentation of the Savage Nation.
I don't like klezmer music myself. It's the reason klezmer music was popular is because it represents Jewish weakness rather than Jewish strength. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Don't get me started on this topic, because no one can cover it better than I. I understand everything. I know why Woody Allen is popular, because he's a self-hating Jew, in my estimation, and he's a stereotype of the weakling Jew. When have you last seen a movie, for example, showing a cop as a hero, a soldier really as a hero, or a Jew as a real man? Never. Never. It's that simple. They'll show you movies about Jewish gangsters from the past, but the image of the Jewish male today is that of a weakling, a schlemiel, a schlemazel, someone who runs and hides. And I don't know that it's limited only to this religion, but I know it's especially prevalent in this ethnic group, and it's very disturbing. And it's why the culture likes klezmer music. Have you ever heard the media glorifying an Israeli song, a folk song from Israel, or glorifying the military victories of the Israelis against all odds? No. But you'll definitely hear about the weaklings, the people who cowered in the shtetls as victims. In other words, a Jewish victim is a subject that's repeated in the media, and by the media, rather. But a Jewish man, a Jewish hero of the type who fled into the woods in Poland, refused to be thrown into a death camp, banded together with other partisans and killed Germans, is never shown. I've never seen a movie about it. I've read books about it. Now, you see, to me, if you say to me, what should a bar mitzvah be for a Jewish boy in this day and age? It would be to have a man who can tell that story, maybe a survivor who's 90 years old, who lived in the woods of Poland, who bashed someone's head in to get a gun in order to protect the women in the group and the children. There are such men around. I mean, there's a story about the brothers. I have the book in my other room. I'll go get it later on. It's an amazing book. They were ordinary tradesmen in a little village in Poland. One was a butcher and one was a carpenter. They refused to be rounded up and go into the death camps. So they went into the woods, and they survived the winters in the woods. But they didn't just survive through miracles. They survived by murdering people. And they had to break into a farmer's house, who himself was not an evil man. In order to get a gun, the first gun, they had to break into a local Polish farmer's house and steal his gun. Without the gun, they were dead meat. With the gun, they were able to survive. Those of you who know nothing about the world and think the guns are evil, it was only the guns that enabled them to survive in the woods. And then they joined up with other partisans, and they would attack German patrols, butcher them, and take their weapons and uniforms and boots so they wouldn't have survived another day. And that's how it went. You say, why should that be told to a child? Won't it traumatize him? No, on the other hand, it might teach a child to have, one, pride, and two, survival skills. The children are not taught any of this today. They're taught nothing to do with pride. They're taught the opposite of it. If you spend $1 million to have your son swing into a party on a chandelier and then talk about himself, what you're doing is creating a monster. A monster made only to work for government or to be a lawyer. There's nothing else that child could be. He couldn't even be a good dentist. It's impossible. 855-400-7282. Savage Nation, you want to talk about Hillary Clinton as president? What a boring topic that is. I mean, you want Bill Clinton back again? You know, the big story is that the New York Times attacked them. Everyone was talking about that. I was shocked that the New York Times turned on them. They said Rush Limbaugh could have written the article. They've turned on the Clintons, and I wonder why that is. This could be devastating for Bill and Hillary. But as the New York Times turns by Tim Stanley, who I've had on the show many times as a guest, and it says the New York Times takes down the Clinton Foundation, this could be devastating for Bill and Hillary. He's a historian, and they said, is the New York Times being guest edited by Rush Limbaugh? Today it runs with a fascinating takedown of the Clinton Foundation. That vast vanity project, he calls it, that conservatives are wary of criticizing for being seen to attack a body that tries to do good. But the liberal New York Times, he writes, has no such scruples. The killer quote is this, quote, for all of its successes, the Clinton Foundation had become a sprawling concern, supervised by a rotating board of old Clinton hands, vulnerable to distraction, and threatened by conflicts of interest. It ran multi-million dollar deficits for several years, despite vast amounts of money flowing in. Where'd the money go? Where'd the money go? If it ran multi-million dollar deficits, despite vast amounts of money flowing in, where did the money go? Does anyone have any idea? Well, the New York Times wrote the article, not me. So who are you going to blame for it, the right-wing conspiracy at the New York Times? Expect Hillary to attack the New York Times. Sonia on WABC, fire away. You're on the Savage Nation.
Good evening, Dr. Savage. The whole cock and bull story about women being oppressed, particularly in the United States, just not true. I graduated from the same college as Hillary Clinton and have found nothing but opportunity for women if they are willing to work hard to get those opportunities.
What college did you go to? What did she? Which school did she go to?
Wellesley College.
Oh, good for you. You went to an Ivy League school and you survived.
I don't know how, since I went to Wellesley College and Brandeis University, and I'm a conservative.
Yeah, you went to Brandeis before that, that liberal bastion?
No, I went to Brandeis to get my teaching degree.
Oh, good for you. I was once a teacher. It's the most noble of all professions. It is the most demanding of all professions, and it's the most rewarding and the most difficult on earth. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yes. I've had interesting entitled students.
The children are amazing. Children are just an amazing, children are an amazing group to work with. You're going to see the best and the worst all in one classroom. And, you know, you probably won't even stay with it all of your life. Even if you did it for a few years, you're giving the world something very rare. What you're doing is you are transfusing your soul into those children for those years. We're talking about various and sundry, a little politics here and there, like that Egypt's on fire. That's Hillary Clinton's legacy event. Morsi supporters torch three churches in Egypt. You know, that's something that I guess McCain would like to see more of. I mean, he wants Morsi supporters put back into the government in Egypt. So in other words, if they've only torched three churches now, can you imagine how many they'll torch if they're back in power? These are the stories that caught my attention. I put them on my website. There's other stories that you're not going to pay any attention to. I get it. I could talk about movies. I could talk about garish weddings, garish bar mitzvahs. I could talk about 30 months prison for Jackson Jr. and the wife. Yeah, Jesse High Jackson Jr. was given 30 months in the slammer for using campaign funds for everything from a gold Rolex and a mink cape. A mink cape? Good God. 855-407-282, Summer on the Savage Nation. Let's see what else we have in the sound. Here's Kathleen Parker of the ex-Washington Post. I never heard of her until now. Where she says Hillary Clinton could save the world. Here's clip number 12. Listen to it.
Study after study shows that where women are most oppressed, those nations tend to be the least stable. And where women are more empowered, they are, you know, the nations become stronger, healthier, and saner. So it seems to me as Al-Qaeda's back on the rise women are becoming a global economic force, that there's no one better suited to sort of lead that movement symbolically and as leader of the free world than Hillary Clinton. Well, this is not an endorsement, but let's just look at it objectively.
She's going to save the world. I see. That's a genius, that woman. That's a brilliant woman. Where women are more empowered, the nations become stronger and healthier. Uh-huh. And where women are most oppressed, those nations tend to be the least stable. And so how do you liberate women in those oppressive nations? By pacifying them, way Obama has tried, and churches are being burned and women are being raped? Liberalism is a mental disorder, and as I proved last Friday through deep analysis, liberalism is an inherited mental disorder. It's inherited. And I'm pretty sure that no medication can cure it. 855-407-282. Let's take our first caller of the night. It's Jerry Lewis on WABC. Jerry, welcome to the program.
Hey, I was calling about your over-the-top bar mitzvahs and weddings. My nephew does a lot of big weddings, sometimes with his three photographers. And there's, you know, weddings going on. People are hiring Alicia Keys, other major artists, and paying $1 million just for the talent to perform at their wedding.
I heard about this.
And then
go on, please. Let me hear the rest of it.
Yeah, they're spending millions on food, flying people in. My nephew was a photographer at one wedding here at a posh hotel in New York. I'm not going to name it. And the budget for the wedding was $500,000.
Oh, my God. You know, look, I have two adult children, and I got to tell you, it was a struggle to raise them and send them to college and all of that. But I remember at one of my children's weddings, I said to her, I said, look, I'm going to pay for the wedding, but I have a choice. I can give you a certain amount for a nice wedding, and the rest I'm going to put in the bank for your future, for college. Actually, it was past college. Oh, for a down payment on a house, and that's what I did with it. Why do people have to show off like that is the question. Jerry, right? I mean, isn't that what we're asking?
Well, these are the super wealthy, Mike, and one tries to outdo another. So they go, or they know.
But don't you think that having a Jewish boy swinging into a bar mitzvah on a chandelier is insane? Isn't that an example of insanity?
Of course it is, but look at the guy who was from New York that had all those military contracts during the Iraq War to do the...
Oh, and he had the garish bar mitzvah. That's right. He was a real pig.
And
you know what they call it in Jewish? A chaza. You know what a chaza is? A pig.
No.
A chaza. When you want to talk about someone like that, it's called a chaza. When you think of a father like that, he's known as a chaza. That's a pig.
Oh.
You remember the Al Pacino movie, Carlito's Way? Not Carlito's Way. The better one. Actually, I love every one of Al Pacino's portrayals. Movie where he's a Cuban emigre, comes in on the Mariel boat lift and works his way up in the coke trade. Remember that one? Scarface. So he gets in with the big coke dealer in Miami, who is a car dealer on the, as his front, but he's Jewish, a Jewish criminal. And he takes the Cuban, who's a murderer, and he likes him because he's so tough, and he takes him to the club. And in the club, he points out some of the wealthiest drug dealers of the time, and he says to him, he says to the Al Pacino character, you see that one over there? He's known as El Gordo. And he says, why? He says, he has more money than God, but he wants more. He said, you know what we call him? A Chaza. He says, a Chaza is a pig. That's where that word is, was first put into the vernacular of the American people. Look, I don't care how much money you have. There's a point at which your class is shown by how you spend it, don't you think?
True, but if you look at some of the people building homes in the Hamptons, there was recently here in the papers in New York, I know you're from New York, about this investment banker, and he has a house that's so big with rooms. Now he put in for a permit to build a new building to for a Lamaze, some type of studio for his wife to exercise in that is the size of a school, you know?
Well, look, here's the thing. If you have money, you can do what you want with it as long as you don't hurt anybody. I understand that. And you can say it's over the top to have a 25-room house or a 50-room house. But I have to think back in history, and I look at things such as the Taj Mahal in India, right? When was that built? What century was that built in, and what was it? The Taj Mahal, which is world famous, was an architectural masterpiece, and it was designed by a man for his lover. He was in love with the woman. And he designed it as a monument to her. I think she died, and he wanted her to be remembered. So he said, he shouldn't have built it? All right, so they want to build palaces to themselves. That's one thing. But I am talking about religious ceremonies like bar mitzvahs that are turned into these... Well, there's no other word for it. They're disgusting. That's what I'm getting at. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
You know, I'm going to tell you a funeral story. I wasn't there. I have to be very careful in how I describe this because I don't want to offend them. Well, he's dead, so what's the difference? A local talk show host who I didn't know died. He had been sickly for many years. I met him once when I was a local host. He was a nice guy. And he had a talk show, and he also had a show on eating, okay? Well, he died, and someone I know went to his wake last weekend, I believe. I said, that's interesting. I said, I didn't even know he died. I said, sorry he died, but he'd been very sick for years. So he had a wake, obviously it was in his will, to have the wake at a fancy hotel in the city. I said, that's not a bad idea. You know, you got people around, they talk about you, you put on a feast. Now, since he had a radio show that had something to do with dining and food, I suppose a lot of freeloaders went thinking that they'd have lamb chops, shrimp, you know, the high end. So then I come out of the place that I'm in, and the guy just came back from the wake with someone else in a car. I said, how was the wake? I said, how come the guy in the car is eating a sandwich? He says, wasn't there food at the wake? He said, nah, he said, it was just cheese. Little pieces of cheese. I said, isn't that something? Isn't that something, the last laugh, to have a food show and put on a wake and then starve people to death with Velveeta, okay? So that's the story. I mean, what kind of wake do you want to put on, you know? And wakes are interesting. The Irish had the right idea, which is that they ate and they drank when someone died. I think it was supposed to mean, well, what does wake mean? He would rise from the dead. It was a Christian ceremony when you think about it. So far as I know, none of the drinking helped bring anyone back from the dead, but it probably helped those who buried him not be depressed about it. Speaking of death, my mother comes back to me as I get older. And I remember she used to say to me when I was a little boy, maybe this will help you with your children when they ask you about what happens when you die, because children will ask that question and nobody knows how to answer it properly. They'll avoid it. They'll take a Prozac. They'll get them a clown. They'll buy, you know. My mother used to laugh when I would ask that question. I was very little because there was a lot of tragedy in my family. And I said, Mom, what happens when you die? And she would laugh and smile and say to me, Michael, don't worry about it. She says, I don't really know, but no one's ever come back to complain. What's the big deal about Martha's Vineyard? Well, why do they all go there? I've never been there. I don't want to ever go there. Since I'm a boater, I read boating magazines here in the San Francisco area. And one of them I read is called Latitude 38. It was explorer Bart Gosnold, who in 1602 reportedly named the island Martha's Vineyard after his eldest daughter and the wild grapes that grew on the island. Did you know that? I didn't know that. See, I was reading this in the toilet about 2 weeks ago at latitude 38, and I usually look at it to see the pictures of the women in the tropics in bathing suits and people having fun. You know, I always feel like, why am I not on my boat in the tropics? The answer is, I don't want to be in the tropics, number one. And number two, I'd rather just sit here in my bathroom reading the book about people who like to do that. And I stumbled upon this. I didn't know where the name Martha's Vineyard came from. Did you? Did you name the island Martha's Vineyard after his eldest daughter and the wild grapes that grew on the island? Great Harbor, where the first white settlement was established in 1642, was renamed Edgartown to honor the new royal heir apparent, who nonetheless died at the tender age of four. Under the leadership of Pastor Thomas Mayhew, the settlers dealt fairly with and respected the indigenous Wampanoag. Yeah, how's that work out for the Wampanoag? They have any of the mansions of the type that Obama's staying in? You think it's owned by a native Wampanoag? In fact, it was after the Wampanoags taught the settlers how to kill and rend the whales that Martha's Vineyard became the global epicenter of the whaling industry. Whale oil and blubber lubed and fueled the early industrial revolution until petroleum was discovered and prompted surplus whaling ships to make a one-way trip to San Francisco, hauling 1849ers. The subsequent whale industry depression led to a halt on Martha's Vineyard construction and renovation. The vineyard was eventually rediscovered by summer holidaymakers, including several presidents and preservationists. And as you all know, Cape Cod-style colonial architecture dominates, with showy structures sporting Greek Revival elements, having been commissioned by whaling captains. Shall I read on? Because there's more here. Some of it is interesting. I have no desire to go to Martha's Vineyard. I have no idea what the appeal is, nor the attraction. But we know that among the celebrities who attend to this island are Bill Clinton, who famously purchased items at a pub for the soon-to-be-famous 22-year-old White House intern, Monica Lewinsky. And we won't mention that again. There's no jokes. But that's it. So that's the story of Martha's Vineyard. I thought I would share it with you because I had no idea where the word Martha or Vineyard came from. And you learned it tonight in the Savage Nation, that it came from explorer Bart Gosnold, who in 1602 named the island Martha's Vineyard after his eldest daughter and the wild grapes that grew on the island. Isn't that charming?
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. And here he is, Michael Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
Obama dribbled while Cairo burned. Welcome to a very, very serious program. There is a Christian Holocaust emerging in Egypt. And I'm asking where the liberals are, especially the liberal Jews, who have spoken so much and so heartfelt about the Holocaust. I remember the Righteous Among the Nations was awarded as a honorary title to those Christians who saved Jews from the Nazis. And yet to date, I've not heard one word. Perhaps I missed it. A report came out that an Islamist mob paraded nuns in Cairo as prisoners of war. Let me say that again for those of you who don't know what's going on. This is the gravest event in your life, especially if you're young. This is the biggest event going on in your life, what's going on in the Middle East. The Islamists, known as the Muslim Brotherhood, burnt churches, looted a church school, and then marched nuns through the streets of Cairo as prisoners of war, according to the DailyMail.uk. Egypt's Christian minority, the Coptic Christians, have been there for 1,300 years. Sister Manal, principal of a Franciscan school in suburban Cairo, watched for 6 hours as a Muslim mob looted the building, knocked the cross off the gate, and replaced it with a black banner resembling the flag of Al-Qaeda. The Christian classrooms were then burned to the ground and the women were taken away, attracting a crowd of abusive Muslim onlookers. Police told Sister Manal that the nuns had been targeted by hardline Islamists, convinced that they had given Muslim children an inappropriate education. Meanwhile, dozens of churches, homes, and businesses owned by Christians have been attacked and razed to the ground. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Obama dribbled while Cairo burns. There is a Christian Holocaust emerging. Where are the liberal voices? Where are the Jewish voices? Where are the Jews who've screamed, never again, never again, never again? They're still waiting for Hitler to come back. Well, he's back, only he's wearing a headscarf. He's back, only he's not chanting German Horst Wessel tunes. He's in Cairo. He's in Damascus. He's in San Francisco. He's in New York. He's everywhere around you. Stop looking backwards and start looking forward before it's too late. And now I'll ask you a question. If I said to you, do you think it's time for Obama to choose a side in Egypt? I would be begging the question. The king of Saudi Arabia has chosen a side. He said he's supporting the generals against the Islamists who must be rooted out like Nazis and fascists. Did you hear that? The Muslim Brotherhood, they said, must be removed like Nazis, according to those who understand what's going on. The king of Saudi Arabia has chosen the generals. The Israelis have chosen the generals. Obama says he's choosing no sides. Well, Michael Savage's opinion is that by choosing no sides, he has chosen a side. He has taken the side of the Muslim Brotherhood and the Islamists. He is supporting the slaughter of Christians and the burning of churches by doing nothing. How many times as I was growing up, I heard about the Franklin Delano Roosevelt who knew that the Jews were being sent to the death camps and he could have bombed the railway tracks to the death camps, but he did nothing. Where are the Jews today talking about what we could be bombing to stop the Islamists today? Where are they today? Where are they? I keep saying the Jews. Why not the Jews? We've heard about the Holocaust for 70 years because it was a horror of horrors. Well, now we see a Christian Holocaust. Every rabbi in America should be talking about it. But by not taking sides, Obama is taking the side of the Muslim Brothers and is supporting the slaughter of Christians and the burning of churches. Now, you have to ask yourself, why is Obama supporting the Muslim Brotherhood, if so, in a quiet way? He didn't come out and say, go, Muslim Brotherhood, go. He's too smart for that. I should say his handlers are too smart for that. Let's put the pieces together, because I'm about to throw a bombshell out into the American media landscape that no one has ever heard yet. This will go off like a cluster bomb. But it takes playing chess in five dimensions to understand what I'm about to say to you. It's not something you would hear from the Limbaugh cartel. The Limbaugh cartel is not going to understand this. Maybe they'll repeat it tomorrow, but the Limbaugh cartel, which has had a lock grip on the so-called conservative message for far too long as far as I am concerned, should have told you this. But it's up to me with the last word in talk radio to piece things together. Are you ready for this? We saw over the weekend something odd happening. You have to ask yourself, why is Obama supporting the Muslim Brotherhood? Because he is doing so. If quietly, he's doing so. He just canceled military aid to the generals. Really? That's odd. Okay, canceled the weapons to the generals because he wants democracy. Well, we all want democracy. We all want democracy in Egypt. But security and equality for minorities such as the Coptic Christians comes before democracy when they're being slaughtered. Democracy does not mean mob rule, Mr. President. When Egypt develops so that the fanatical, racist, fascist Muslim Brotherhood have no significant following in Egypt, Egypt will then be ready for democracy. Today, Egypt needs colonial tutelage, Mr. President. So you have to ask yourself, if I see this, how come there are no wise men or the wise women, so-called, who are all over the Obama administration's hallways? How come they haven't seen this? Where are they? Where's the wise Latina who's on the Supreme Court? She has no opinion. They're all dumbfounded by it. Where are they? There's not a word going on about the Holocaust against the Christians. This is the single biggest event in the Middle East in your whole life, going on right now. the righteous among the nations, those who saved the Jews from Nazis, were Christians. Are you among the righteous among the nations who will save the nuns and the Christians from slaughter by the Muslim fanatics? So let me explain to you where I'm coming from. Obama said he's not taking sides, but he is taking sides. By not supporting the generals, he's basically supporting the Islamists. As is Lindsey Graham Cracker, as is John McCain, who will go into the Hall of Shame forever for what they've been doing. The Hall of Shame for both of them. But let's forget them. They're flies on a wall right now. The burning of churches, the parading of nuns. Why? Why would Obama permit this to go on? Well, let's follow the money. The New York Times came out with a shocker attacking the Clinton Foundation, stating that the Clinton Foundation was a scam. Millions of dollars went missing. You remember that story? Came and went? Now, this is the right-wing New York Times. The right-wing New York Times comes out and attacks the Clinton Foundation as a gigantic scam. The Soros-funded Media Matters organization, which attacked me and anyone else who tells the truth in this country, they're a group of Nazi jackals. Media Matters comes out and attacks the New York Times for attacking the Clintons. So that means Soros is unhappy that the New York Times exposed the Clinton Foundation. But why? Why would Soros be unhappy with the attack on the Clintons? Because Soros and the Clintons gain by the rise of the Islamists. By defeating the king of Saudi Arabia, they hope they can gain control of all of the oil wealth. By helping the defeat of the generals through their Islamist friends in the streets of Cairo, they think they can gain control of the most populous Muslim nation on earth, Egypt. They're power mad. Soros is the most crazy person on the planet. But he's got more money to spend than anyone on the planet to try and push his psychotic agenda. And so he's saying, okay, Media Matters, you go after the New York Times now. They were our friend. They're no longer our friend. They stepped out of line. They exposed the Clinton Foundation as being a giant scam. Did you hear what I said? What I just gave you is an entire story that's worthy of repetition for the next 20 years. And I'm going to stop right now and let you absorb it. And I'm not going to prime you with a question. But I will tell you that the flat-footed Republicans are so stupid, they don't know which way to turn. I have a soundbite from a Kelly Ayotte, who's a Republican, who is so dumb, you understand why the Republicans are out of power. We know who the liberals are. We know that they're on the side of everything wrong. We know that the left is always against democracy and always against freedom. But where's the opposition party? So when I come back, I will repeat what I just gave you, which is more than you've heard all day from everyone else, on radio, on television, in the newspapers, on the internet. Nobody has traced this for you the way I just did. And I'm calling upon the righteous among the nations to listen to the Savage Nation tonight and see what I'm trying to tell you. There is a holocaust against Christians going on. Don't talk to me anymore about what you would have done during the holocaust. I've heard it all my life. Oh, if I was there, believe me, I would have done this. You would have done nothing because you're doing nothing now. You're stuffing your mouth is what you're doing. You're stuffing your face. You're doing nothing. Every synagogue in the land should be crying out for the Christians of Egypt. Every church in the land should ring their bells in solidarity with the Coptic Christians. It's fallen upon me, Moses. Moses Savage will be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
When I woke up this morning and I saw that an Islamist mob paraded nuns in Cairo as prisoners of war, after 6 hours of looting a church school and replacing a cross with a banner resembling Al-Qaeda flag, when I saw nuns who are sacred to me, and I am not a Catholic, being treated like this, and I heard nothing from the White House except the loud sound of a golf ball slapping against a club, and I heard nothing in any of the synagogues, and nothing coming from the churches, and nothing from the Limbaugh cartel, and nothing on the internet. I said, something is wrong with this picture. For 50 years, I've been hearing about the righteous among the nations. Chasidei Umot Haolam, Righteous of the World's Nations, is an honorific used by the State of Israel to describe non-Jews who risked their lives during the Holocaust to save Jews from extermination by the Nazis. Where are those today trying to save the Christians? The Coptic Christians have been in Egypt for 1,300 years. They are Egypt. They are Egypt. You have to understand something about Egyptian culture. It's a culture that's 5,000 years old. It's a mixture of religions and civilizations in which the Islamic religion is only one ingredient of the Egyptian character. Do you understand what I just said to you? The Muslim Brotherhood, according to Egypt's ambassador to Britain, he said the Muslim Brotherhood are like a Nazi group that demand that everything changes and people, everything goes their way. He's calling them Nazis, and he said they must be removed like Nazis. He is Egypt's ambassador to Britain. The Brits, who banned me, are now banning him. They want him thrown out of Britain because they've been bought lock, stock, and barrel a long time ago. Has this government been bought lock, stock, and barrel by the Muslim Brotherhood? I ask myself almost every day. I am afraid to ask the question, but you can only come to the conclusion that something is wrong when they do nothing to defend the Christians, and they always say that the Muslim Brotherhood must be included in the government. When the Egyptian people said, no, we don't want them, they're fascists, they're Nazis, we don't want them. So you only conclude that by not taking sides, Obama is taking the side of the Muslim Brotherhood and is supporting the persecution of Christians, the burning of churches, by doing nothing. Now we learn that behind the scenes, Obama secretly suspended military aid to Egypt. Did you hear what I just said to you? The liberals have just suspended military aid to Egypt. So who is going to benefit from that? The Muslim Brotherhood. So why would Obama want the Muslim Brotherhood to benefit when the Egyptians don't want these fanatic racists in the government? Again, I want to repeat, oh, we all want democracy. We all learned it in the first grade. Democracy, democracy, democracy. But you need security and equality for minorities first. Especially if you have a Nazi power, you don't want democracy for the Nazis, do you? So let's get security and equality for the Coptic Christians and the other minorities in Egypt. Not mob rule by the Islamists. And once the fanatical, racist, fascist Muslim Brotherhood has no significant following, then Egypt will be ready for democracy. Today it is not ready for democracy. It needs a strong military, and it needs colonial tutelage. But we don't have a Winston Churchill. We don't even have a Neville Chamberlain. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Obama dribbles while Cairo burns. Any comments on my comments? The phone numbers, well, I'm not giving you the phone number. We're sold out. You can't get into the tent. The big tent is full. It may be summer, but the people know what's going on. They see the tides are changing. The winds are blowing. They see a clown in Martha's Vineyard having a good time, one vacation after another. The Middle East is burning. And Hillary's running for office. She's the savior all of a sudden. She's the architect of the Arab Spring. How could she be the savior of the world? Al Jazeera English opens up in America. There's a grand strategy here. It's a war. Many of us don't even know there's a war going on. We're licking our ice cream cones. We're taking our Prozac. We're going to dinner. I understand it. I walk around San Francisco before a show. I see happy people. I see people talking to themselves in the street. In my day, they would have been put in a mental hospital. They walk around talking to themselves, laughing. Of course, they have an earbud and a phone of some kind. But fundamentally, they look crazy to me. They look happy, but crazy. I see people eating oysters and clams and pasta, and I want to shake them. I want to get up on a soup box and say, do you understand what's going on? Wake up! I'm not going to do it, of course. I wait for the radio show. I sit here waiting all day long to have the opportunity to express my view of the world. I see Christians being persecuted, killed, churches burned, and the president that says, I'm doing nothing, I'm not taking sides. Where are the Jews? I keep saying Jews, Jews, Jews. Why Jews? Because of all the peoples of the earth, it falls especially upon the Jews who have made so much of the Holocaust through our entire lives. Remember, the people living today didn't die in the Holocaust, thank God. But they talk about it, as they should, to make sure it never happens again. Well, now it's happening again. Remember, the Jews were not gassed on day one. They were persecuted first. Their shops were burned. Their synagogues were burned. They were marched in the streets by the brown shirts. That's how it started. It ended in the gas chamber. That's what's going on in Egypt right now. And the only thing that stands between the Christians, all of them being killed or thrown out of the country, are the generals. And the generals are backed by Israel. The generals are backed by the Saudi king, but not by Obama. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Obama dribbles while Cairo burns. You have any comments on what I'm saying? Phone number is 855-47282. Do you agree with it or don't you agree with it? Because I ask myself over and over again, every morning, every night, I say, is Obama, why is he not taking the side of righteousness?
Savage. You're listening to an encore segment of The Savage Nation.
Why, wherever I turn, is this administration supporting Islamists, whether it be in Syria, Libya, Egypt? I keep asking the question, and what comes back to me is utterly frightening. I mean, sheer logic dictates that they're on the side of the Islamists. Then you have the putz, John McCain. Either he's a moron, as he looks, and as I've heard, the stupidest man in the history of the Republican Party. A block of wood would be smarter than John McCain. People who have given money to the Republicans told me this years ago. The stupidest man they ever met. So that I can forgive. I can forgive stupid. He's the dumbest in a long line of McCains. The father was a brilliant admiral. The grandfather was a brilliant admiral. This one was a dummy. The last in his class at Annapolis. So maybe he's just stupid. A genetic thing. I can forgive McCain. Lindsey Graham is a fork-tongued, double-talking liar, in my opinion. He can be bought off. Let me stop right there. Lindsey Graham, again, is talking for the Islamists. That means he's been reached. So in a land where there are only fools, what do you do? Where the heck is everybody? Where the heck is everybody in my country? Where are they? I don't know what you think about what I'm saying to you. Did you hear what I said to you? By not taking sides, Obama is taking a side of the Muslim Brotherhood. By not taking sides, Obama is taking sides against the Christians, the minorities, and the burning of churches. And I kept saying, why? Now, the most dire image is that of a television show. I forget where there's a congressman who was converted to Islam, who's a double agent. Homeland. But I said, no, that can't be it. He's not doing it because he's a Muslim. It's more realpolitik than that. When I saw that the New York Times attacked the Clinton Foundation for being a scam, and the millions of dollars that went missing, I said, there's hope yet. Maybe the New York Times wants to, hold on to the shred of credibility it still has with the diminishing circulation. People are on to say that. Say, publish an article showing that it is a scam. And what happens? Media Matters, which is nothing but a group of fascist Nazis, in my opinion, funded by George Soros, the most dangerous man on the planet, attacks the New York Times for attacking the Clintons. So I say, wait a minute. Now I'm starting to see a pattern. So he wants the Muslim Brotherhood in power, Soros does. How does a Jew who escaped the Holocaust benefit by the rising up of the Muslim Brotherhood, I keep asking myself. Now he's supporting Bill and Hillary Clinton. How do the Clintons gain by the rise of Islamofascists? If the king of Saudi Arabia and the strong men of Egypt are being attacked by them, what does the Soros-Clinton axis want? Maybe they believe they will gain control of the world through world oil and dominate the world. Could it be that simple? Remember what Soros was quoted as saying, which I quoted in Trickle Down Tyranny a while ago. He said, don't give me control of a nation, give me control of its currency and I'll control the nation. George Soros said that. Give me control of a currency and I'll control the nation. So it's not enough that he controls nations through their currency. Now this madman wants to control the nations. He doesn't care how many people die. Is this possible? Are there people who are that psychotic, I ask myself over and over again, that they care for nothing but absolute power? Well, the world will tell us yet. Nero fiddled while Rome burned. Learned it in high school. Never forgot it. We now have a president who dribbles while Cairo burns. Welcome to the Savage Nation. Headline, Islamist mobs parade nuns in Cairo as prisoners of war after 6 hours of looting a church school and replacing a cross with a banner resembling Al-Qaeda flag. We do nothing. There is a Christian Holocaust going on in Egypt right now. And if you're not doing anything, then you're part of the problem, not part of the solution. If you're buying the big lie that we want democracy, then you're a bigger fool than I think most people are. You can fool some of the people some of the time. You can fool some of the people all of the time. But you can't fool all of the people all of the time. And you can't keep using the word democracy to sell fascism. Hitler was elected. And the minute he was elected, or shortly thereafter, he eliminated the German Constitution and introduced Nazism. Morsi was elected. And soon thereafter, he eliminated the Egyptian Constitution and tried to put in Islamofascism, Sharia law, etc. So the Egyptians had enough and they threw him out. The army rose up against them as, God, have I told you? What if the German military had risen up against Hitler in 33, 34, 35? We would have avoided the Holocaust in World War II. But they didn't. We should be supporting the generals. Instead, we're attacking the generals. Of course, we all want democracy in Egypt. We all believe in democracy, but how about security and equality for minorities first, for Coptic Christians who were being persecuted, their churches burned, before granting democracy to the Nazi Islamofascists? Democracy does not mean mob rule. After Egypt develops so that the fanatical, racist, fascist Muslim Brotherhood no longer has a significant following, Egypt might be ready for democracy. But today, Egypt needs colonial tutelage. Colonial tutelage. Dirty words to liberals. Colonialism. Well, under colonialism, minorities were protected. Under democracy, they're being killed. How does that work out, Mr. President? Then we have the insanity of no opposition party in America. None! None! John Boehner, silent. Cantor, silent. Cruz, silent. Nobody on the Republican side has a word to say except a girl from New Hampshire who I never heard of, named Kelly Ayotte, or whatever her name is, says that we should cut off aid to Egypt. She's on the side of Obama, on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood. Like a child who read a playbook. It's not a democracy. We cut off military aid. Moron. Imbecile. Idiot. The ambassador, Egypt's ambassador to Britain, has said that the military-led offensive on the opposition set out to be, well, did you hear what he said? Ashraf El-Holi told the Telegraph that the Muslim Brotherhood is the equivalent of Nazism, and it must be removed like Nazis. He said if they are not removed, you'll have Hitlerism in Egypt. As a result of saying that, and after comparing Morsi's takeover to the Islamist takeover of the Iranian state after the 1979 revolution, he said the Nazism and Muslim Brotherhood ideology sought to dominate Egyptian society. He said Morsi was elected president, there's your democracy, Mr. President, and held office for 1 year. But in that year, he tried to make everything Muslim Brotherhood controlled. Egyptian culture over 5,000 years is a mix of religions and civilizations, in which the Islamic religion is only one ingredient of the Egyptian character. He then added the Muslim Brotherhood are like a Nazi group that demand that everything changes and people do everything their way. That is the ambassador to Britain, who now the British are so upset by his words, they want to kick him out of Britain. What does that tell you about the royal family? What does that tell you about the royal family of England? Have they penetrated every Western government to the extent that they're owning them? I don't know. When I saw that the King of Saudi Arabia came out on the side of the generals, I said, that tells me everything I need to know. Everything. I don't need to know anymore. I can figure it out. Obama can't figure it out. Hillary can't figure it out. McCain can't figure it out. The Republicans can't figure it out. The media can't figure it out. How come I can figure it out? How come I know what I have to say? How come I can figure out what the right thing is to say? How is that possible? Because by not taking sides, Obama is taking the side of the Muslim Brotherhood. So he's permitting it? He's permitting them to burn churches and kill Christians and march nuns in the street? Why? Again, I traced it for you in the last hour. Tell me if you agree or disagree with me. It's only a theory. What do I know? I'm a man alone in a second floor walk-up in an undershirt looking down on the world as it marches by. I am the man in the undershirt in the second floor of 30th Avenue looking down upon the world as it walks by under my window. And I see the whole world walking underneath my window. And I know what's going on. At least it's one man's opinion. At least I can still see things as they are and express them to you on the Savage Nation. It's still legal, isn't it? So follow my thinking and tell me if you think my thinking is correct or warped. Why would Obama support the Muslim Brotherhood? I keep asking myself over and over again. So then I can't answer it directly because there's only two answers to that. One, because he's a lazy, good-for-nothing who doesn't care. Two, because he's on their side. Or three, there's something else. So now what's the something else? There's always something else. George Soros, one of the world's most powerful evil men on the planet, if not the most dangerous man in modern history, in my opinion, he supported the Arab Spring. He funded it. Read Trickle Down Tyranny. I have a whole chapter on it. I'm not going to waste your time. Read my book. Go to a bookstore. Read it for free. I don't need the money. Read the chapter. He funded the Arab Spring idea. He used his entire team of the same Carter team. Zbigniew Brzezinski, if I remember correctly, was the architect. Hillary Clinton ran with it. Obama instituted it. Mubarak was jailed. Morsi was put in power. So I said, well, how did they gain by this? If the Saudi king is against this, and Soros is for the Muslim Brotherhood, so now there's a war between the Soros-Clinton faction and the king of Saudi Arabia. What is that about? I said to myself, well, I'm sitting in the window on the second floor of this walk-up in Manhattan on 2nd or 3rd Avenue, looking down on the world, thinking, watching the people go by, eating pizza, whatever, sushi. And here's what I come up with. They're so power mad. Soros is so power mad that he'd like to see the king overthrown by the Islamists in Saudi Arabia. After all, if we see an Arab Spring and how it's benefited the people of Syria and how the Arab Spring is benefiting all of the people of Egypt and the peace that's reigning from the Arab Spring, why not push it in Saudi Arabia too? Let's get rid of the king, they think. Let's have democracy in Saudi Arabia. What do you mean democracy? You mean the same Islamist group rise up in Saudi Arabia, our ally in the Middle East? Are you out of your mind? Well, why would they want that, I ask myself, sitting in the window with my arms on a pillow, looking down on the world, watching the world go by. Because they're that power mad that they feel that they could take over the world's oil supply by manipulating. Let's say the king of Saudi Arabia fell, and let's say the Muslim mobs took over, like they tried to do in Egypt. What would happen then? Wow, think of all of the money you could make betting on oil futures, shorting oil futures, betting on the dinar, shorting the dinar. Just think of the money you could make. The blood could run from your lips. The blood could run from your nose, your ears, your eyes, your lips, with the pleasure you would get from the money you'd make. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Savage Nation. You say, well, you're taking sides. Am I taking sides? I'm on the side of saving the Christians while we can. And by the way, while I'm telling you this, haven't we lost enough American sons and daughters in Iraq and Afghanistan? What are we doing there? No one even knows why we were in Iraq. It's degenerated back to an Islamo-fascist state, worse than it was under Saddam Hussein. And what about Afghanistan? What's going to happen after we leave the legs and the arms and the eyes and the ears of American boys in the hills? What are we going to have for it? We didn't get a barrel of oil out of Iraq. Why were we there? Why are we spilling the blood of young Americans in a part of the world where they burn us at the stake? Why are we bringing Americans home in coffins? For who? For what, to make the world safe for democracy? What is it, a textbook class for Hillary Clinton? For what? They hate us. You know, I learned many years ago that democracy cannot arise until the people themselves have had a long education in what democracy means. There's a responsibility for democracy, which is why I oppose illegal immigration in America. The hordes coming in from Mexico have no idea what democracy is. They never had it. They have never had it. They've lived in a dictatorship their whole lives. They don't even know who George Washington was. How could they become a citizen of a democratic nation like ours and be participants in it when they don't even know what democracy is? When I see that the Limbaugh cartel doesn't ever talk about this, it really disturbs me deeply. The Limbaugh radio television cartel scares me to death. That they don't take a side of righteousness, it scares me. It scares me. It scares me deeply. You could say, well, we don't believe in Obama. Great. You believe in the Limbaugh cartel? What side are they on? Obamacare, 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 Obamacare. How much can you talk about that? That's an esoteric subject. Here are some other stories. TSA is buying ammunition, a training facility, indicating they intend to arm the bag checkers at the airport. Is this the brown shirt army that Obama warned us about, or promised us, rather? Hillary's racial politics, says the New York Times. Al Jazeera America launches tomorrow. Homegrown terror television, courtesy of liberal Gore. Egypt. Republican Kelly Ayotte of New Hampshire says we shouldn't fund the military anymore. So she's on the side of the Muslim Brotherhood? Media Matters attacks New York Times for exposing the Clinton Foundation as a scam. What does it all mean? Well, I'm paid to figure it out, or at least to give you an informed opinion. I wouldn't expect the average person to figure it all out. You have other things to do. One of the things that impresses me about human beings is their ability to forget problems. We have to do it or we would all die in a day. One of the things about the human being that impresses me is the ability to forget tragedy and live a life and move on. And as I walk around San Francisco on this beautiful summer day today before the show, and I see the crowd, I never saw anything like it, the hordes in the restaurants along the waterfront, scarfing down the oysters, the clams, the mussels. No amount of wine is enough. The Chinese, the Japanese, the Americans, scarf, scarf, slurp, slurp. Give me the bread, give me the wine, give me the oysters. More, more, more. And I say to myself, what should you do, hate them? That's what people do. They travel from their country to this country, and they walk around aimlessly, and then they stuff their faces, and they go to the hotel room, they take a nap, and they get up and stuff their face again. That's what's been going on as long as humanity had an extra dime in their pocket. You did it when you were young. I never liked it, but I did it. So anyway, what I do is I see people, I see them, the average person doesn't care about any of this. They figure, what do I care? You know, let them kill each other. What do I care about a bunch of nuns? Screw them. What do I care about nuns in Egypt? Yeah, who cares? You know, don't bother me with it. You know what I mean? I got my own life to lead. Well, really, and you don't know how the Holocaust happened, do you? Isn't that what humanity said when the Jews were being taken out? First, it didn't start with them being rounded up. They didn't march rabbis in the street the first day in Germany. No, the first thing in Egypt, in Germany was Jews cannot swim in an Aryan pool. That's how it started. It was little by little. It wasn't overnight, the camp, the death camp. No, it started with little laws. Then a little window was broken, a swastika was painted on a store. Yeah, but the people then say, who needs it? I want a hot dog and I want to go to the Yankee Stadium. That's all. Leave me alone. What do I care? And then after the war, I heard all the revisionists, oh, boy, that government of ours, they knew that the train tracks went to Auschwitz and they could have bombed the train tracks and FDR wouldn't do it because he didn't want to upset the Nazis. He didn't want to stop the Nazis. He was afraid of offending them. Sound familiar to you? Yeah, train tracks, huh? Well, we don't have trains going into a death camp. But to me, rounding up nuns and marching them through the streets tells me everything I need to know. And I do not see how you can't see this. I do not see how you can have any faith in any institution in America anymore. Couple that with the golfer in chief, whether it's him lying about the video from Benghazi that caused the burning of the embassy and the killing of the ambassador and the bodyguards, or the liar in the White House saying, we don't spy on Americans, as he dashed off for an African junket. Or the liar in the White House saying that the IRS doesn't target political enemies. How much more can you take? How much more can you take from a media that doesn't call them out? Even the New York Times had enough of the Clintons, and they called the Clinton Foundation a scam. And to the rescue came George Soros's little fascist mad dogs in Media Matters. For years they attacked me. For years they attacked anyone on the conservative side with lies and the arrows of lies. So now they're going after the New York Times as a right-wing newspaper. And so now you got Soros and Obama and Hillary Clinton. So what the heck have to follow all of this? By the time you get through with me, Savage, I'll go out for clams and oysters and a bottle of wine. A lot of news out there. Village bloodbath in Egypt. A-Rod declines MLB challenge. Now that's an important story.
Ooh, A-Rod. You know what A-Rod did? Ooh. Ooh, A-Rod.
Yeah. Now bring in 50 million illegal aliens who don't know the first thing about democracy and start telling me that we have democracy in America when they vote for the leftist machine.